Well, you remember what we've been talking about, right? The bread, the broken bread. And that was called communion. Communing. Being of one spirit and one accord. Communing with the Lord in the broken bread and in the poured out wine. And we saw that the emphasis of communion, really only in one place did it mention sins, and some who have commented on that said that maybe the commentators later even put that in because it wasn't mentioned anywhere else in the other Gospels or in Paul's writings. And Paul's writings in Corinthians make it clear that the broken bread is the body of the New Testament, Christ's body in the New Testament, meaning us, and not just having communion for forgiveness of sins, but us being after his kind, us being of his spirit. For him, broken for him, broken for others. I think of our gatherings here and that brokenness is going on whether we realize it or not with different ones. I mean, I think probably the most broken bread in our meeting right now, it might be Carolyn back there, because this loud noise hurts her and gives her headaches. And I tried to run her off, and she wants the Lord more, regardless of the pain. That's broken bread. You do realize it. That's a picture of broken bread that says, I don't care what the cost to me. Broken eardrum. But that's precious. That's precious. All right, so I had mentioned to you that we were going to look further into this and that we were going to see that we are not really going to recognize Jesus or to know him without the broken bread. And I said that there's not really going to come a true multiplication, a true adding to and more of, unless it comes from knowing and coming to broken bread. And I told you that we would discuss that tonight, and I told you that we would look at scriptures that verify that, so that it's not just me saying that, but the Word of God saying that. So turn with me, if you would, to Luke 24. Disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now let me, instead of reading all that, let me just kind of highlight what that's about. Jesus was crucified. These disciples and all the disciples were confused. Mary, the mother of Jesus, stood before the cross with John, the disciple, and thought, oh no, this is horrible. But it was the most wonderful moment ever on the whole earth, right there. The most beautiful. And they're weeping, oh, this should not have happened. No, this needs to happen. But we look at the unfair trial where Jesus was falsely accused. We look at the horrible treatment. But Jesus is broken bread. He is. That's his nature. So when we talk about the broken bread, we are contrasting that with the event of the cross. The event of the cross, yes, Jesus died for our sins. It was a one-time moment, a one-time event where he died. But when we talk about the broken bread, we're not just pointing to the cross. We're pointing to the person who went to the cross. We're pointing to the nature that took him to the cross and that is always, from eternity to eternity, self-giving, unselfish, loving, giving, pouring himself out, being broken for others all the time. And so we're not just pointing to the cross, but we're pointing to the bread that's broken. And he said, eat it. And when you come together, eat it. Put it in you. Be my body by putting my nature in you. Okay. So the disciples are sad here in Luke 24. And they're confused and they don't get it. And so Jesus appears and starts walking with them. And they don't recognize Jesus. I mean, they don't get the cross and they don't recognize Jesus. Not as he is. So Jesus, this is how much he tries to get through to us. He dies on the cross, then he appears to us. We still don't see him. So then he opens the scriptures, the Bible. He opens it and he starts at the beginning with Moses, through the Psalms, through the prophets, and he shows himself in the Word of God. They still don't recognize him. They still don't know it's him. So they keep walking and then it gets late and they finally get to Emmaus and Jesus says, I'm going to keep going. They say, no, stay and let's have a meal. And in verse 30 and 31, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it. He blessed it and he brake it. And gave to them. So he's not just eating a meal. Or he would have blessed it, break it, and eat it. But he gave it to them. Okay. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Now I forgot to put the verse. When they go back, they tell how they knew him. Can you read that for me?
And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us along the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done along the way and how he was known to them in the breaking.
He was known to them in the breaking. Now, remember, they said before they went back to Jerusalem, they said, didn't our hearts burn? But you know, heartburn over Jesus isn't really enough. But when they got back, they said, but we knew him in the breaking of the bread. Not in the scripture. Their hearts burned, but they knew him in the breaking of the bread. Okay. I have a few of my notes here, so I'm just going to say that. They didn't just see him, but they knew him in the breaking of the bread. That's different. One is, oh, It's Jesus. The other one is they're seeing him, they're not seeing him in him. Get it? They're seeing him in the breaking of the bread. You see? Remember I said that through the breaking of the bread, we're going to know him. That's how we're going to know him. Before, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, you knew him because he had this little... No, not really. Oh, there he is. He's got the little halo. He looked pretty much like everyone else. But in the breaking of the bread, that's where we're going to know him. Okay? And that's what their hearts were truly opened with. And if we want to know Jesus, I want you to go back to the scene with the communion. There's Jesus with the bread. There's the disciples. And there's the cross in a few hours. And Jesus points to the bread and breaks it and said, "This is my body. Eat it. Eat it." Okay. So here, again, this happened. So let me make sure I've got this. It was not because Jesus broke bread in a special way. You know, like he kind of did this. You know, it's not that. They went, "Oh, Jesus always kind of does it like this instead of like this." You see how silly that would be? I mean, they saw him. They knew him. Oh, my goodness, this is him. Now, remember when Jesus did that during communion? You remember that? Who was there? The 12 disciples. These guys were not there. They weren't there. What does that mean? It means this is universal truth. Universal truth. They knew him in the breaking of the bread. And I want to emphasize again, they didn't know him looking at his face. They knew him in breaking the bread. They were looking at the bread and they said, "That's him. That's him. And that's what he's like." And what did Jesus do when he got it? He does that every time. We still got some more examples. Every time when he breaks the bread, he's always going, "Eat this. Put me in you in this way." Man. Oh, I wrote, they didn't understand the broken bread by Jesus, like Jesus explaining it now. That was at communion. They didn't understand the bread by Jesus explaining it this time. This time, they understood Jesus by the breaking of the bread. That's amazing. They're looking at the bread and go, "It's him." Hallelujah. That broken, given body caused them to be able to see and understand Jesus. Because they had never understood him that way before. They understood him as Jesus of Nazareth. That's why no one could recognize him. Because now he's there as he is and not as their needs are. Does that make sense? Because it's heal me, touch me, bless me, feed me, Jesus. They're looking at him with these eyes. But when the bread is broken, they're seeing his inward being. They're seeing his nature. Oh, and I just wrote, Jesus fed the 12 lamb bread because it was Passover. But to him, he's going, you know, at Passover, they would eat lamb. And that's right and correct. But Jesus is using the bread to show his body. "This is my body. This is you. This is what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to I'm going to bless you. I'm going to break you, and I'm going to give you. So that's why that specific thing was not the him taking lamb, because that was his body. And he's already, here's the thing at communion, he hasn't died yet. Jerusalem hasn't been destroyed yet. He's prophesying. And he's already there. And he's there not because at the cross it's going to be slaughter and it's going to be a spear and it's going to be cursing and all we're going to see is that. But here, he's just saying, this is my eternal nature, totally apart from circumstances. This is my nature, always, regardless of circumstances. The cross was just the biggest manifestation of that nature, but that nature is always there. That's why bread. Now that's why bread comes in communion all the time. Do it in remembrance of me. Show forth my death. He didn't. Here we go. Okay. I took the bread and I broke it. So I just showed forth his death. That's not what he's saying. He's not talking about symbols. He's saying, eat this bread. Now go show forth my death. Broken bread, put it in you. Show forth death. It's like a math thing, but simple. One and one and one equals three, the Trinity. Anyway. All right. So, now let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, and let's start at verse 32. But, Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. And have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto them, Whence should we have? From where is this going to come from? What is the source? Where can we get this? So much bread in the wilderness. Now remember, y'all remember this. When Israel was in the wilderness, God gave them bread. Okay. And we'll get into that in John 6 someday in the future. I don't know. Maybe we can a little tonight. I don't know. So much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great multitude. And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks, and he broke them, and he gave to his disciples. Does that sound familiar? Okay. So the question would be, is Jesus just doing a miracle here, or is he trying to teach us something about himself? Because remember, it says Jesus called his disciples unto him. He didn't just say called them and they came. He's calling us unto him. He's always calling us, hey, come unto me. Not just come. Okay, I'm here. What do you want? I want you unto me. I want you. Okay. So he gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Okay, so this is already a little bit of a picture of communion, isn't it? Because he's breaking bread, giving it to them, and they're giving it to thousands. Does that bless Jesus' heart?
Yes.
Even if it's just a shadow at this point, it is a picture of what is so in his heart, that we would be his body in this way. You know. And that was the problem in Corinthians about the communion that was going on, was some would take and they would just eat on their own. They weren't giving and blessing, and they weren't broken bread. Okay. In verse 37, and they did all eat. Okay. All. And were filled. And they took up of the broken meat, that, and that means food, that was left, 7 baskets full. All right. So again, like the disciples, it is good to ask, from where will come all this bread? Where? All right. Let me just see real quick. Where did it come from? Breaking, taking the bread, blessing it, and breaking it. And let's see. When should it come? And he commanded the multitude, sit down, verse 36. And he took the loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke it and gave to the disciples. Soon as he started giving it, so he broke it. And soon as he started giving, it started multiplying. Okay, so now, remember I said 2 things we would hit on tonight for sure. One was that we're going to know him. If we're going to know Jesus, we have to know him in the breaking of the bread, because that's his nature. You can know Jesus of Nazareth and not know that's his nature. You can just think it was a 3.5-year ministry and one time event on the cross. But that's his nature. That's the way he always is. Okay. So, so I wrote down, where did it come from? When bread was broken, it became more than it had been before it was broken. Let me say it again slower. When bread... I'm sorry. All right, where did it come from? When bread was broken, it became something. It became more than it had it not been broken. This is the key to multiplication. Okay, Jesus used another picture, but it's the same thing. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it'll be one seed. But if it dies, there's your key to multiplication. But we're seeing this in relationship to not individual seeds. We're seeing this in relationship to the body of Christ. This is Jesus' plan for multiplication. But not multiplication of Christians. No, it's not. It's not a multiplication of Christians. It's a multiplication. What is happening in my throat? That word. Maybe this will help it. Thank God for vodka. Cut that. Don't put that in. Let me try it. Multiplication. So he's not multiplying Christians. He's putting his nature, his broken bread in them, and they're becoming after his kind. In fact, that's him in there. Because truly, he's the broken bread. He's that. And we put that in us, and they were putting it in. And so Jesus is going, okay, well, here's enough. You know, there's enough for maybe us 12, but we're going to break it and give it. And then they just kept going and going, and each one had taken it and going. And then Jesus could look spiritually at that and say, there are thousands who are broken bread like me. It is why I died, so that I could give myself in a way that could go in them, into them. That's communion. That's communion. Turn with me to John chapter 6. Okay, so John 6, it really includes a lot of stuff. But remember when we started at the end of John 6, right up to John 6:6:6. You remember that? But when John 6 begins, everybody is for Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. But when it gets to talking about, and he said, I'm the bread of life. Eat this. And they got offended. I want to be blessed, but I don't want to be broken and given. No. People, give to me, Jesus. Don't make me give to others. All right. So that was the turning point. And it wasn't a small turning point. It was huge. Many no longer wanted Jesus. Followers. Disciples. Because it says disciples. After that, many of his disciples no longer followed him. Okay. So don't you get offended if people turn their back on you and don't want your Jesus. Because you won't be the first. It happened to Jesus himself. Okay. All right. So let's look at the very beginning of this. And we're going to read John 6 starting at verse 1. And we're going to go down a little way. You ready? John 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Okay. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, and he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Of course he does, because he's self-giving. He's broken bread. He goes, I know what I'm going to do. What are you going to do, Philip? Okay. Verse 7, Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. The number was about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise to the fishes as much as they would. Notice, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Okay, so this starts with Jesus simply having compassion on the multitudes, just caring about them. He's not trying to teach them anything deep at this stage. He's just wanting to feed them. Okay. But before this is over, this gets worse and worse as we go through this chapter, where they start pressing him and insulting his father and all kind of things. And finally, Jesus just starts saying, look, this is what's me and this is what's and not me. And, you know, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood and all this kind of stuff. You know, it got bad. And all Jesus is trying to do is bless. He's just in his heart, just, you know, wanting to do that. So verse 16 through 21. And when even was come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. It's dark, and Jesus wasn't come to them. Yeah, has it ever been dark, and Jesus didn't come to you? Well, I got news for you. These guys, I don't know, but you have Jesus in you. You're one with Jesus. Your future is Jesus' future. Okay. Just a reminder of what we talked about today. So, Jesus had moved himself away from the place of being known as a miracle worker and was not trying to do that. So verses 20 through 25, but he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land. Let me just make sure here. So verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given them thanks. There's more people coming. They're coming now because they've heard of the bread and of the miracles. But they're not looking at it like Jesus' broken bread. They just want to fill themselves and be satisfied. Okay? So, verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. But they're seeking for Jesus for what? They're not saying, I want to be in your image. I want to eat your flesh. I want to, you know, partake of you. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said, and Rabbi, when camest thou hither? So I wrote, the new people came to the place where others ate bread to find that Jesus that gives bread but is not their bread. Because that bread is not truly broken bread. So verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You're seeking me for what I can do for you. What I can do for you. I want to put my nature in you so that you can do for others. So that you can show forth my death. Isn't that what he said of communion? Hallelujah. So Jesus exposes their motives. It's not even miracles on a religious level, but just mere free bread. Those verses are all about them seeking Jesus, but he doesn't just want warm bodies or seekers that are not in tune with his heart. Okay, now we're going to find that to be true in here. Everyone thinks, well, as long as if a bunch of people are coming to hear a preacher, that's just what God wants. This is saying, and what it'll show, is that he is here to impart his nature into us, not only just to save us. He wants us to be his body, self-giving, pouring him forth at whatever cost to us. Amen? Amen. Okay. So I don't even have to show you, it'll do it. That he's not just happy because these people are coming. He sounds like he's a little upset, you know? Jesus answered, I send you. You seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. That's all. That's the only reason why you're seeking me. You know? And he could speak to many gatherings tomorrow across the world and look and say, you're seeking me for what you can get. You're not seeking me for the true bread. See, he'll get into that, won't he? You're not seeking me for the true bread. All right. So verse 27, labor not for the meat which perishes, But for that meat, which is, the word meat is food, which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So he calls this kind of seeking as labor. Their kind of seeking he calls labor. Labor not. Labor not for the meat which perishes, because he's saying you're seeking, but you're laboring. And he said, don't do it. Not that kind of seeking, because all it is just works. All right. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Oh my God, where did they get that from? He's trying to impart his nature to give them of himself. And they're going, oh, and all they can hear is first, you know, give us bread. And now it's, hey, tell us how to do the works of God. I wrote down, they think he's rebuking them for being bread eaters and not bread makers, miracles. Because he said, you seek the bread that makes you. And so then they're going, oh, well, how do we do the miracles then? And he's just going, Mamma mia. Ah, that's a pizza. Anyway, that's a, that's a hot the pizza. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Well, see, Jesus knows that he's the bread of life. He knows that he's the Lamb of God. He knows that he's going to be crucified for one reason, so that we could partake of his flesh, so that we could eat his flesh, drink his blood, so that he could be put into us, and he would no longer be one body, Jesus, but many members, Jesus, body, his body. Amen? This is one body. Okay, good. Praise God. So that this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. He says it's about believing in who he is, not knowing him just for salvation or miracles, but as he is in terms of bread. I'm here to be the bread. That is the work of God that we that should be where they are involved. In other words, we're seeking you. But we're not just seeking you. Oh, we're down here and you're up there. Oh, we're seeking your life to be in us for others. Amen? Verse 30 and 31. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? See, they can't get off of this. Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they go back to believing in him as miracle worker. It's no longer about just eating bread now. Oh, you're trying to get our attention so that we'll learn to do miracles. And he's just gone. So they go back to believing in him as miracle worker. And since Moses did the bread thing, sorry, this is very much Randy's writing. Since Moses did the bread thing, that Jesus should convince them that he is of God by giving them free miracle bread. They're trying to go, well, if Moses did this and he did miracles, you do something like that to show that you're of God. Give us free miracle bread. Yeah. And he's about to, you're fixing to tick Jesus off. Because he's gonna speak to that. So verse 32 and 33. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. Can I tell you something? Anytime Jesus has to say verily, verily twice to you, verily, verily, you better watch out what he's going to say. You know, For example, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the seed fall into the ground and die, it's alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. All right. So, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread. Do you see what he's saying? He's trying to get them on the right track. He's saying, you're just talking about a miracle that happened a long time ago. I'm the true bread, and my Father gave them that bread, but he's given you the true bread. Get in tune. You know? Now they have offended Jesus, having no clue what he's talking about or what was going on in the scripture. But Jesus mentions another kind of bread. They don't even know what kind of life he is getting at, what he's trying to communicate. They can't understand it. Their ears are in tune with their belly and not with his heart. And so Jesus is talking and they're just going, they're reinterpreting everything. What? Yeah. You know, give us bread. Yeah. Give us magic hands. And Jesus is going, he hadn't even said it yet, but he's starting to get a little upset. Because he's thinking, look, all I did was want to have compassion on you and just feed you. That's all that was in my heart. And now you're attacking my Father and saying that Moses did that when my Father gave you that bread, and he's giving you this bread. Verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. What? You know, because they're going, let's just let it fall all the time. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So finally Jesus opens up and he says, look, I'm the bread that this is all about. That was a miracle? Good. You feel satisfied? Fine. But I am. I'm the great I am. I am. Not I do miracles. I am. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So do you see that? He is definitely at the opposite of them now. I said unto you that you have seen me and you don't believe. So he's upset. He is definitely now not on the defensive, but he's saying, you haven't literally seen me and you don't even believe. And it gets worse because they offended his Father and they wouldn't listen to his instruction, and because they had their own ideas, and because everything had to relate to them, and Jesus can't take too much of that. Heaven's not going to be populated with that. It's going to be populated with bread breakers. Us. So, in relationship to verse 35, but they have him right there and only see him in relationship to their wants and needs. They've got him right there. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So I wrote, in the face of almost no one who is really with him, he almost says this to himself to encourage himself. All that the Father is going to give me will come to me. They're going to come to me. And I won't cast them out. I will love them. I will. They will be one with me. One bread. Remember the communion? One bread, one body. One spirit, one father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Jesus has to go to a place. If you look at it, he kind of has to go. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They don't know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? It's almost like he's saying it to himself. There's going to be some that will come. There will be some that come. And I won't cast them out. You know, they will be received. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. It's almost like at least he knows his own motives. I came down for him. You're here for bread or miracles or whatever, but at least I know why I'm here. I came down to do the will of my Father, which is what? To be broken bread. That's the will of his Father. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So this is the Father's will, to not worry about those who are not given to him, but to raise the ones up who are unto newness of lamb life, that have come unto, that have eaten this lamb life. Sometimes you can get discouraged. People don't understand. People misinterpret what you say. People get upset with you talking about the cross, about the lamb so much. They might attack you or they reject you. But this is the will of the Father, that to not worry about those who are not given unto you. They're not given to you. You'll know who it is. And you'll have fellowship with them. But the ones who are not given unto you are not given unto you. Don't worry about it. Just be with him and the ones that are. Someone would say, well, it's such a small group. You know, well, it's burnt stones here and then here and then here and there and then here and here. We're building up the temple. The habitation of God. We're making a place for him in the earth. How blessed is that? And we're also burnt stones as he is. I mean, he's Jerusalem that's burned down. We're the stones now. We're becoming that which builds together and joins together of one heart. So don't worry about those who don't understand or reject you. Because first of all, they're not rejecting you. And second of all, it's clear that the Father has not given them unto you. So just be happy that you have the Father and that you have the bread within you and that you have, I mean, you may not fully realize how precious it is to have some that actually receive this and will gather to it. Hallelujah. And then verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay, so I don't have time to go through all the rest of this because it's a bunch of scriptures and it's the best part. But I will say this. Well, you know what? I could at least read this Can I read the rest of this? Because now I really like this introduction. I really do, because this is how the Holy Spirit brought me to this. And it was precious, because I'm just reading, you know, John 6, verse 1, and, oh, Jesus has compassion, and he wants to give him bread, and he wants to take care of him. And so I'm just reading along, and I'm just thinking, you know, this is, I don't know, you know, I mean, I know the scriptures, but in my mind, I'm like, this is going to turn out good, because it's Jesus is being so nice to him and everything. And then I start seeing this little, like the little pick at Jesus. He goes, you know, and then they do it again. He kind of goes like this, and then they do it, and he goes, that's not, my father didn't do that. My father. You think he did that? You think that was the real bread? You think that's the thing that would transform your life? He's questioning their motives, like, you know, your motives are wrong. At least I came to do the will of the Father and everything, and I'm trying to impart myself as bread to you. And then he starts in on this part. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you're not going to have any life. And pretty soon, then it's like, okay. Then he's just like, look, this is it. I'm not fooling around. This is my plan. Okay, so we did verse 40, right? Okay, verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him. Do you see how quickly this is turning? They are really starting to get mad now, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. That shouldn't make us mad. Anyway, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven? See, they don't even notice he said he's the bread. That they don't even know, they don't mention it. You came down from heaven? Totally missing who he is. Totally missing the gift of God to them. Only getting caught up in doctrines and teachings. You couldn't have come from heaven and this and that. And just stop, people. Just stop and wait and say, I don't understand all of this, but Holy Spirit, if this is of God, show me. If this is of God, show me. And work on me. And if it's not, show me. But don't just go, I don't believe that. And I know everything, so that can't be right. Isn't that, when you say that can't be right, that means we know everything. Oh, I know everything. And that, you know, you see, when I was in Bible school, I heard things I didn't agree with. I was about a year old in the Lord, so I already knew everything. So if anybody said anything different from what I thought, it had to be wrong, because I know everything. But if you don't know everything, then you have to hear something and go, Lord, I don't know. And the Lord had to work on me. He had to work on me. He had to deal with me. But eventually he got me to where when I would hear something, I would, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, when he said, the Son of God is in you. And she didn't reject it or accept it. She pondered it in her heart. That's the word that I'm just going to ponder it and let the Holy Spirit show. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit did show, like here, down here, in the belly. So, you know, God is faithful. We don't have to have answers for everything right now. But we do need to have an open heart. We can give him without knowing anything, and without reacting to everything, we can give him a very sweet sacrifice, the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart. I don't know everything. Speak to me. Tell me what you want me to know in your timing even. I don't have to have it now. I just need to be with you. That's my only heart's desire, is I want to be with you. And he'll go, that's my sacrifice. I like that sacrifice. It's a sweet savor. All right. So I don't even remember what verse we were on. 43? Okay. Jesus, verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Okay. Doesn't that sound like he's kind of like, come on, guys. Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Okay, see, they already know stuff. They think they know it all. I want to be taught of God. Kelly may share something that I've never heard from the Lord before or heard anyone else say. And I may go, well, she's a woman, she must be wrong. But I want to be taught of God. And so I take that and I hold it up to him and I say, Lord, this is yours. If you want to give it back to me, give it. And if it's true, he'll give it back to me because it's of him, not her. I'm just using her as an example that, you know, we should do this with one another. You know, we can learn from donkeys. We have another word for it in the U.S. They shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. That was verse 45. Now verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He has everlasting life. By the way, I am that bread of life. Just in case you thought we're thinking way off here or there, I shall give him everlasting life. Oh, by the way, I am the bread of life. Verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Okay, well, that's not good. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. The word cometh in the King James means continually, is coming from another place, if you will, instead of earth. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Okay, so I'm going to give you something and take something. I'm going to give you my life for the life of the world. Give me that. I give you my life. I take away the life for this world. The life that lives in this world. The life that lives of this world. And I give you my life. Okay. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I don't get it. This can't be right. Here's why they're having a problem. And he's going to get into the fact, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, right? We're going to get into that. Well, one of the strictest rules of being a Jew was that you could not drink the blood. Mm-hmm. That was a very strict rule. So Jesus could have, I mean, they're already disagreeing, right? They're disagreeing with Jesus. So Jesus could have just stayed with, I am the bread of life, right? And it wouldn't have caused as much trouble. But right here, he says, you have to eat my flesh. And then he's going to throw in, and now you have to eat, drink my blood. And they're just going, oh my God, this is, oh. You know, I was reading it going, Jesus, you're just stirring these people up. You could have easily avoided this being so, you know, but he's looking at them like, they're not, they don't get it. They don't hear me. They're not with me. Their hearts are not open. You know, might as well help them get in a frame of mind to crucify me because I came to give myself. I've broken bread. See, when somebody starts getting irritated with us, we try to calm them down. We try to bring, oh, no, I didn't really mean, you know, eat the flesh of Jesus. I meant it's bread, toasty bread. He's toasty bread, you know. It'll be good for your tummy. Eat Jesus, you know. We do. We try to calm it down. Jesus goes, hey, this is an opportunity to really give myself. Some of you are thinking, nobody would ever do that. I've done it. I already knew where I was headed to the cross. I'm not trying to please the world. I'm not trying to make a smooth path. Somebody says, you need to be a good witness for Jesus. Do you know what the, first of all, do you know in the book of Acts, when it's in the first chapter, he says, you should be witnesses unto me, that the word witness is the word martyr, one who dies, who gives himself. Martyr, yeah. That's what that word is in the Greek. You look it up. That's what it is. And the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, their witness was their death. It was. So we go, I want to be a good witness, so I'm really talking about little bits of bread that are, you won't choke on Jesus. You know, let me just feed you like a little baby bird. You know, and go, beep, beep, thank you, and everybody loves you. Well, you see what happens with me? I say the same stuff Jesus is doing, but I just don't, I'm not afraid that people get upset with me. I am not afraid that I have come for that reason. That's Jesus talking to me. That's his life and nature. I've come for this reason. And for people to not be able to hear the voice of the Father, not know the spirit of the Lamb, not know all of that, and fight against it, they are crucifiers. I'm not a crucifier. I won't put them down. I won't say bad things about them. I'm not a crucifier. I came to get crucified, not get back at them. You know, you nail one nail in my hand and I'll grab your hand. In fact, I'll get both hands. You know, an eye for two eyes. No. I have no desire for that, and I know Jesus doesn't. So, you know, Jesus is making this worse. He is really stirring it up. It's fixing to get crazy. They're going to go, ah! You know, Stephen did the same thing. And they rushed on him and gnashed on him and all this kind of stuff. And what does Stephen do? I see Jesus. I see Jesus in glory. He looks up there and he's looking at Jesus, and when he looks down, he sees all this, and he doesn't go, I'll get you. When I'm in heaven, I'll send thunder or something, you know. He looks at him because he's been looking at Jesus, and he takes the stones and he says, Father, forgive them. Just like Jesus did, because he's broken bread. because he's broken bread. We go, I've heard people say, but Stephen was so young. He was so good with the word of God. Why let him die so young? He could have helped the church. Because he was probably the only one really getting it at that point, that this is not about doing great things in the church. This is about going into death, that life, not Christian, not more Christians, not bigger church. You see why I'm in trouble all the time? Because I talk this way. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Go ahead, I can catch her up to where we're at. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. This is crazy now. You don't say that to a bunch of Jews. I'm telling you, if there's almost nothing you could have said worse to them to make them go, what? Oh, we listened in to you. See, if I was there, I would have come to Jesus and said, Jesus, calm down. Don't be saying that. Okay, let's stick with the bread. Not only that, he not only says, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He says, if you don't do it, you have no life in you. And they're just going, you know, look, I know I have life. Look, watch this. I have life. Can a dead person do that? Jesus said, you don't have my life in you. You don't have the life in you. You're not going to drink my blood. You're going to shed my blood. You're going to hang me on a cross. And you're going to pour out all of your wrath on me because everything I say and do is so different from your thinking and everything that this couldn't possibly be right. And Jesus said, but that's okay. Because guess who I came to die for? Even you. So go ahead. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. He's not saying... he's not saying, if you believe in me and what I did on the cross 2,000 years ago, you have eternal life. He said, lamb life is eternal life. Broken bread is eternal life. If you eat this and put it in you, that's eternal life. We're not talking about salvation. Do you understand? We're not talking about salvation. You're saved. You may have never thought of broken bread or eating the flesh of the lamb. You're still saved. But this is not talking about salvation. Just be saved. That's fine. But there's more. And the more is Jesus. And the more is Jesus in us. And we need more Jesus in us. We need more. Now, he's in us full and complete, but we need to understand the Jesus we have in us. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. We're putting Him in us, and He's considering that we're in Him in that reality. We are in Him, and because we're joined. It's communion. There's communion between us, but it's not just people talking communion. It is a communion of like mind and like kind and of oneness. Oneness of being. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed and blood drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me and I live by the Father. He's given an example now. I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So this is, you know, you can eat communion. You can have communion and you can eat that and you can go, I think that's good bread. You know, you can eat that all day long and not be in communion. You know. Well, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. No, there's a communion. I want this life. I want this way. I want I want Jesus to become flesh and blood in me. I want that. I don't just eat it out of ritual. I eat it because I believe that that's the life that I want. And I want to get rid of my life too. You know, out with the old, in with the new. Verse 58, I think. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things saith he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. All right, so it's not just bad enough he's saying these things. He's saying them in a synagogue. Oh, Lord, you know, the religious stuff. I'm trying to be religious. I'm not very good at it. I'm not good at being religious. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Those whom the Father gives. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples were murmuring about it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, so he's laying it out there. He said, look, you claim to be my disciples. My disciples. And you're having a problem with the main thing and reason why I came. That's offending you. That you talk about Jesus' life in you. That you're offended at my life in you. You love your life so much. It's so important. It's so special. Your life is so special that you can't have anything to do with my life in you. He says, Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Okay, so he's clumping these people who are against him as broken bread and eating his flesh, drinking his blood. He's putting them together with Judas. Why? Well, I mean, I don't want to go too far with this. But at the very last day before he was crucified, Jesus is in a Pharisee's house, and this woman who is a harlot comes in and breaks an alabaster box and pours it on his feet and begins to weep over him and wipe his feet with her hair, and doing it, Jesus explained it. She's doing this for my burial. She's honoring my burial. She sees that I'm going into death, but she sees beyond just I'm going to die. She's not just crying because I'm going to die, but the spirit in which I'm giving myself. And so she's pouring that out over Jesus. And the disciples and the Pharisee there, they all become indignant. This isn't right. You can't do this. This is not the right thing. And Jesus says, let her alone. Let her alone. She's done a good work on me. It's a spirit. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Father, we just ask you to, Lord, I know this session went long, the worship went long, but I do not doubt for one minute that our hearts want you in the way that you want to be wanted. And I believe that you are stronger than our fears. You're stronger than the weakness of our body. You're stronger than circumstances. You're stronger than the effect of other people upon us. You are the greatest beauty and the greatest reality that we could ever hope to be one with. And so we ask you to use this. Not just the teaching of it. Basically, Father, I just read the Word. That Word is true every day. That Word is alive every day if we will just go back and say, you say to me what you were trying to say in that meeting. You reach my heart. You turn me if I was one of those who would be offended. You bring me to a place where I see and know, and I want to eat your flesh and drink your blood. I want broken bread inside of me. And I want you to be able to have free course within me and in each and every one of us. And I want to feed everybody this bread. And Holy Spirit, help us to recognize, to know Jesus. Not just see him, but to know him in the breaking of the bread. And in knowing him, we will eat. And in eating, we will give. And in giving, Jesus, you will be multiplied. More burnt stones so that there's enough to build a habitation for you, a home for you. We ask in your name. Amen.